Good morning. It is July the 4th, Independence Day, and we're celebrating that, and we're thankful for everybody that's fought for that. We're discouraged by people who have tried to tear it down, but we'll live through it. We're in Sunday school, and we're studying Exodus, and we're down to the, or up to, the 25th chapter, talking about the tabernacle. Lois, if you're there, sorry you're not here. Anyway, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing Abide With Me, because we're talking about the tabernacle, and that's what it's about, is God's condescension. He came down to us. We'd not be able to reach him if he hadn't. All right? So let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the day and for the opportunity to come and worship freely, for you providing us a copy of the scriptures so that we can look at what you said and strengthen our belief and know you. We know that we couldn't do it by ourselves. So, Father, just ask that what we do today, what is said, that it'll be glorifying to you. I pray for Pastor Pete as we go into the next room, that you'll strengthen him, that you'll be on him, and he will speak your words. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing Abide With Me. Does anybody know this one? Pete does. All right. Abide with me, fast falls eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, within abide. And other help and comfort thee. Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close, as life's little day, earth's joys grown in its glory away. Change and decay in all around I see. Oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What by thy grace can the tempter's power, who like thyself my guide and stay can be, through clouds and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and fear no bitterness. Where is nesting? Where brave thy victory? I triumph still, thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the stars. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. So the 25th chapter of Exodus, bear with me while I read it, because that's the most important part of the deal, is getting God's word out. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution. And this is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, porpoise skins." I don't know what your Bible says there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, Flipper. Acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. And they shall construct an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, and 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it, and you shall make a gold molding around it. And you shall cast 4 gold rings for it, and fasten them on its 4 feet, and 2 rings shall be on one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark with them. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. And you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub at one end and 1 cherub at the other end. And you shall make the cherubim of 1 piece with the mercy seat at its 2 ends. And the cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. And there I will meet with you, and, sorry, gotta make them work. And there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. And you shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. And you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a gold border around it. And you shall make for it a rim and of a hand breadth around it. And you shall make a gold border for the rim around it. And you shall make 4 gold rings for it, and put rings on the 4 corners which are on its 4 feet. The rings shall be close to the rim as holders for the poles to carry the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, so that with them the table may be carried. And you shall make its dishes and its pans and its jars and its bowls with which to pour libations. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, bulbs, and its flowers shall be of 1 piece with it. And 6 branches shall go out from the sides, 3 branches of the lampstand from its one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand from its other side. 3 cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms. In the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms. In the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So for 6 branches going out from the lampstand. And in the lampstand, 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms. its bulbs and its flowers. And a bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the six branches coming out of it, coming out of the lampstand. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps, seven in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. And its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made from a talent of pure gold and all these utensils. And see that you make them after the pattern. See that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown to you on the mountain. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. And that's one of the main things I want to concentrate on is detail. I remember growing up, my mom used to make her own dresses. Wasn't because we were poor or anything, but she liked doing it. I told she bought a sewing machine, a Singer sewing machine with a button holder, completely by saving green stamps books. My mom was a Proverbs 31 wife. She saved money like nobody's business. Anyway, I clearly remember her being out on the living room floor, and nobody goes there, with her pattern and the fabric, little itty-bitty pins. By the way, she made shirts for us and stuff like that, so sometimes we had to try them on, and if she forgot a pin, it was not good. But my point is, she'd take the fabric and put the pattern out there. She would cut it to size and make that exactly like the pattern and put it together. And that's one of the things that's going on here. Moses received these instructions up on the mountain, and God has been very specific in what he wants done. And this is all about God coming down and lowering himself to our level. Somebody once said he came down and got in the fish tank with us. That's the idea. So he being God, came down here and got on my level. And what he's asking for is, look at verse 8. What he's asking for is a place to dwell with them. Not that he needs a physical spot to be in, but his intent is to dwell with us. And that's what tabernacle means. That's one of the meanings. Questions? Okay. At the beginning, it talks about contribution. Contribution is mentioned at least three times in the first three verses. And these people who were formerly slaves, who are now free, brought things from Egypt. If you remember, whenever the Egyptians finally sent them off, if you will, it was God who led them out. But when the Egyptians finally figured out they were going, they gave them stuff. They just piled it on. I don't know how much it had. I forget what a talent is. Anybody remember? Pricey, huh? Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, verse 8 is not him in a tent. It's him dwelling with us or with them. That was the idea. And that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit at conversion. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, tabernacles with us, lives with us, always there. All right. The other thing that's said in the beginning verses, from every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise a contribution. Did you know that worship is willing worship? Nobody can make you worship. They can try. You have to cave in. All right? Like Nebuchadnezzar building a statue to himself and says, you guys are going to bow down when the music plays. No. Some people said, no, I'm not going to. And that's the way we're supposed to give. The story's told of Billy Graham sitting in church one time and the offering plate comes by. And he reached in his pocket and threw a bill into the offering plate. And he watches it went by. And I don't know if it's true or not. But as he watched it go by, he realized it was a $100 bill. And he leaned over to his wife and he says, I thought that was a 20. It's okay, I'll get credit for the 100. And she said, no, you won't. You get credit for a 20. That's what you intended. Yeah, and some people do that. True worship is willing worship. The aim, the goal, the end of worship is to pay homage to Christ. Worship, absolutely. It's not that we make him worth anything, but we assign it, we recognize it, I guess. All right. Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. However, in this case,
yes.
Yeah, but you're right. That kind of heart, that willing heart, that you contribute.
It's an offering to God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there is a whole lot of exactness in here. He talks about the Ark of the Covenant, and I have two different measurements depending on what you believe a cubit is. One is 15 by 45 by 15. There's another measurement for a cubit, which would make it 27 by 45 by 27. I don't know which one is correct, but the other thing that you should see in all this with its exactness is that God determines how we worship. He determines who we worship. We're not supposed to. I know we do. We all have our own conception of God. And if it varies from what Scripture says, then it's incorrect. All right.
Eve offering. What is an Eve offering?
Is that a good answer?
What are you offering? Humans is the term for the wheat or the whatever his rain comes in. He lifted it to the Lord as a bundle. And that's one of the words in Leviticus that we're talking about, the wave offering. Because the heave part is known as the heaving, it's the lifting of the heave.
Hello.
It's just a different way of saying just a
25.
Where it says, where it says a contribution. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me read to you from Got Questions. A heave offering was a way of presenting one's offering to God, and it appears in the Old Testament along with burnt offerings and grain offerings, free will offerings, and the offering of the firstborn of the flocks. The heave offering is part of the Mosaic Law, which was one of the common sacrifices for offerings given to God by the Israelites. Only a few translations, such as the King James Version and the New American Standard, call it the heave offering. Most translations consider it simply an offering presented before the Lord. The heave of the heave offering is a simple upward movement. It could refer to the generic movement of lifting or heaving the sacrifice toward the altar, or it could refer to lifting up or separating a portion of the sacrifice from the rest. This heaved portion was set apart for use by the priest in Leviticus 7:34. Heave offering was not really a separate offering, but the portion of another offering was reserved for the use of the priest. You shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, which was waved, which was offered before the ram of ordination from the one which was for Aaron and from the one which was for his sons. Well, Got Questions is where I went. Heave offering, Got Questions. Absolutely.
I have never heard of that before either.
They do well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Exactly.
The Lord says the pattern that you were shown. This guy was Rabbi was saying was do you think God really pulled out a piece of papyrus and drew an architect? Or did he show that just like in heaven? The pattern comes from what Moses was shown and information given. So he may have actually seen
later on we're going to be given a recount of what we've just gone through, and one of the key things is that God put his spirit in the craftsmen that were making this. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, they knew what to do. Good question. Yeah, she's. Yeah.
Thank you.
The church that I go to is the Catholic Bible Fellowship, and Word for Word every Sunday, every Wednesday. He doesn't go up and say, "This is what we're going to talk about today." We start in Genesis, and we go all the way to the very end of Revelation, and then we start all over again. So.
Yeah, that was something that Chuck Smith was famous for, was line by line, precept by precept. All right. And another thing, those whose hearts moved them. These guys were previously slaves. They are now servants of God. We talked a little bit about servanthood last week. They had never done anything on a voluntary basis. They did what they were told to do. But here they are, and they have the opportunity to express their gratitude for God's grace and for who He is. And let me read to you a little bit from a sermon from Ligon Duncan, who's a Presbyterian. Some of you have been taught before, and you've had students that raise the faithful question, "Is this going to be on the test?" Now you immediately know, when they ask you, "Is this going to be on the test?" that they do not care anything at all about what you've been teaching them. The only reason they want to know it is so that they can pass your test and get out of class. It is a very disheartening thing. And God is saying He wants none of that attitude from His people when they come into His courts with praise. He wants none of that grudging spirit of disinterest when we come into His courts with praise. Is that your attitude? Do we have to keep the Lord's Day? Do we have to worship on Sunday morning and Sunday evening? Do I really have to give to the church? All of these things manifest that the heart is not voluntarily overflowing with praise to God with His goodness. And the very first principle that God sets forth in the section of worship on Exodus 25 is that true worship is willing worship. It's freely offered because of our love to God, our thanksgiving for who He is and for what He has done. It is our business to learn and to grow in that kind of willing worship. I forget where it is, but it's in Genesis. And one of the people mentioned in there is Hezekiah. And I forget who it was that made an offering to Hezekiah. But that the offering was made to Hezekiah. No, I'm sorry. Not Hezekiah. Melchizedek. Mel baby. Why don't you correct me? Melchizedek. Mel baby. The idea behind the offering being given to Melchizedek is that the lesser gives to the greater. That's one of the things that we're doing when we give in service, monetarily, whatever it is we recognize that God is above us and we are lower. Yes. Yeah, we ought to think about it whenever, like Diane says, whenever you're doing service, whenever you're doing things, it should be toward God and recognizing Him for who He is, how great He is. All right. Obviously, all these instructions point out that it's important to God how we worship. Absolutely. So your question is?
Is there an implication to that the mercy is seat? God is offering mercy and offering full seat.
I would have to look it up. I do not know. Right, by the high priest. That's true. Yeah, no, I understand. And yeah, I don't know how to say this correctly. I don't want to offend, but I don't think that it's a good thing for us to be infatuated with the tabernacle. I think we need to look at what God's intention was as far as the tabernacle goes. And right.
To me, it's even more pronounced by the fact that God Moses all these instructions when they were down there making a golden calf. But it's going to make a golden ark. So my word can be ark and kind of a holy ark.
Was ever going to be only one man who would actually do everything perfectly.
Right.
So God said, keep in mind the rest of the world is watching this, the covenant people. You know, this is what I expect. And most of the time, they blew it.
Right.
They were way off base. Most of the time. They were never able to do this perfectly. The right man came along. He arrived. He did everything. And he did it because he delighted to obey his father. He didn't do it because God saw it for us. He did this. As I heard from you. And that, to me, that's a great comfort. It's like, because I'm willing, right? You know, I'm not doing that just because of me.
Right.
We knew we can know he could never fail because he was the only perfect son. So all of these things are types, all these types. That's the value we have when we look back. But today, sadly, in most of the evangelical churches, right, the focus is on him.
Right. Absolutely.
Always, at any given time, a small remnant of the Hebrews, they got that. One is the consolation of Israel. And the way he asked for it, he asked, let me live long enough to see the Messiah.
These things are good credits, and these things are valuable to them. Probably bad to it wasn't the purple at all. I like purple. Purple would die as a royalty because I heard one account, I read one account, that they had to take several, quite a few muscles from the bay, and there's certain you'll have that it would squeeze it out and extract it into a fraction of a percentage. Lots of moss, they would boil that and turn to a purple color. It was really the only good source of purple they could get.
Right.
It took a huge ton of work for them to get there. And so once it caused appreciation for the purple, for all the effort they made just to make something that was reasonable.
Yes, so there's. Yep.
Not necessarily individual intended.
Or when the Notre Dame was burning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They were all obsessed over it. Yeah, great to who?
Like we were going to lose something. It was just,
yeah. Yeah.
Once Christ died and the Holy Spirit came, it's worthless. I mean, now it's the Holy Spirit is in you. You're the temple.
And what will that really be? I mean, God speaks to us in this kind of way, condescends, he comes down to us in language that we can try to figure out in our mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's up there, and he's looking down on us. Actually, you know, when someone goes to do the Lord, you know, us or anything.
You kind of, as you're saying, walking down streets of gold, when we're up there like that, the covenant wasn't the point. The Lord himself was, so if we were to be in heaven, it would be the word of God, we would appreciate not being surrounded by
lost control a long time ago. Never had it.
It wasn't my fault.
Yes, huh? Just your presence.
Well, that's a good thing. This is a great lesson.
Let me just close with a few words from Pink. The tabernacle was, therefore, the place where God met with man. It was termed the tent of meeting. If an Israelite desired to draw near unto Jehovah, he had to come to the door of the tabernacle. When giving instruction to Moses concerning the making of the tabernacle and its furnishings, God said, "And thou shalt put on the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee." There's typos in here, I believe there are. How perfect is this lovely type? Christ is a meeting place between God and man. No man comes unto the Father but by him, John 14:6. There is but one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. He is the one who spans the gulf between deity and humanity because himself, both God and man. Another typo. All right, I will flip there. Father, we just thank you for your word. Ask that you'll Bless us as we learn more about you, that we'll be mindful of what you've done for us, that it's solely on you as our ability to be able to either even come before you and worship you and know you. Thank you so much for doing that for us. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy that we don't deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.